The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drives so you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid, wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. I'm Will Brinson. I'm your host. It's Monday, November 30th. We have our first of, knock on wood, two primetime games this week in the on the weekdays to preview and to look. We're, of course, referring to Ravens Steelers, which was supposed to happen on Tuesday. Maybe we'll know more by the time you're listening to this. But to preview, Seahawks at Eagles joining us. What is your actual title? Data engineer?
Data engineer.
Okay, I'm on it. Mike McClure, what's up, buddy? How you doing?
Doing well. Really, really, really excited for this game. We love the Seahawks in primetime. They really, like I said, they haven't let us down yet this year. It's always high quality entertainment.
That's true.
So I'm very excited for this game. I like it a lot. I think there's a lot of very interesting tournament options related to some of the injuries on the Seattle side.
Nice. And so we're going to get to the DFS and player props preview after the break. We're going to talk about the game itself a little bit. I do want to point out something before I forget, because my brain works like a squirrel on a cage. I thought that you said something interesting about DFS on Twitter on Sunday night. As the Packers are walloping the Bears, you pointed out that on these DFS showdown slates, very often, like, it ended up being like you needed Bears to win. You needed Allen Robinson as the captain to win, I think, which is weird because the Packers were the dominant team, but the Packers had such a lead that if you got those Packers points, you needed to have the Bears coming back in order to win the actual showdown slate. And I think that's something that sometimes, you know, if you're like, this is going to be a dominant Packers effort, the defense is going to score a touchdown, Aaron Rodgers is going to find Davante Adams, and the running backs are going to get in the end zone, and they're going to throttle the Bears, you weren't wrong. But you also ended up not winning. Like, you probably didn't win as much as you thought you might. And I think that's something to think through when you start thinking about game script and all of that. I could talk DFS forever, but we need to talk about this game first. And we'll get to the showdown stuff in a second. The Seahawks are -6.5, -280 on the money line. The over under here is 49. Two interesting storylines, Mike, from this game that are starting to pop up. One, on Sunday morning, it was reported that Jalen Hurts is going to get some standalone snaps without Carson Wentz on the field. We don't know how many, and I'll be curious to see what you're doing from a projection standpoint as it relates to Hurts and Carson Wentz. And then two, I think Pete Carroll came out this week and said, I saw this on Twitter on Monday, came out and said that maybe the Seahawks got a little too friendly in the kitchen with letting Russ cook. And it sounds like they might try to get back to the basics and run the football, which is a terrible idea against an Eagles defense. It's great against the run and not great against the pass. So I'm curious, like, when you look at this game, how do you see this playing out from an odd standpoint and sort of thinking about those two storylines and how they might affect the game script and how this looks?
Yeah. I mean, so the first thing that stands out there is that the clock's going to be running a lot more if we're going to run the ball and Jalen Hurts is going to be on the field. Yep. Even though we're talking Jalen Hurts standalone snaps, we're still likely looking at quarterback run a little bit more than throwing the ball. So that would be the first thing that I would look at there. As far as how I'm handling the Jalen Hurts situation, I'm modeling it out around 80-20. I think that he could see up to 20% of snaps. In the past, we've seen around 10% of snaps. While that was mostly in a wildcat situation.
Yeah.
I think what's going to happen is Carson Wentz is just going to have a really quick hook, right? So if he comes out, doesn't play well at all in the first quarter, first, you know, maybe extended to the first half, then we might see some more Jalen Hurts down the stretch. But I think right now I'm going to be modeling it out at 80-20, which is obviously going to really hurt Carson Wentz' projection.
Yeah, absolutely. And I don't know if I tweeted this out. I mentioned it on the podcast, I think yesterday maybe, but I went, when that Hurts news popped out, I went and grabbed a bunch of under props on Carson Wentz for tonight's game on Sunday morning. Cause you know, they're going to be, you know, we saw the line move, maybe in an adjustment of a, you know, like the, you see it move from like 5.5 to 6.5. People are thinking a ton of Jalen Hurts, but the props took a while to move. They've actually didn't drop as much as I thought they would. We now have, Carson Wentz, although are they on? Oh yeah. So Carson Wentz passing touchdown stayed at 1.5, but got juiced down to the under. Passing yards down from 245 or 250 down to 238. And his rushing yards down from 14.5 to 11.5. And I don't want to dive into the props yet, but I do think that's probably about right. I mean, that's saying they think it's going to be somewhere between 15 and 30% of the snaps will go to Jalen Hurts. So I think your number is spot on there. And I do think it's interesting to debate. Do we think this is actually them trying to incorporate Jalen Hurts and to get the offense going? Or as you maybe even alluded to, is this sort of a message to Carson Wentz? Like, hey, buddy, play well Monday or else we're going to have to bring Jalen in because this, what you're doing isn't acceptable.
Yeah. And I think it's more of that. I think it's let's wake Carson Wentz up. He doesn't wake up, you know, hey, Jalen gets his shot. You know, it's basically we're back in training camp here, essentially. Like, go earn the job, right? Both of you are going to get snaps no matter what, but go show us who deserves to be out there on the field.
So, Phil, I mean, Seattle has been bad against the pass all year long. Like, they're not a great team. They have improved a little bit defensively over the last couple of weeks. Have you noticed anything with Seattle in terms of their improvement defensively? Do you think they are a better defensive team maybe than we're giving them credit for, or do they just get an easy schedule and they're sort of feasting on questionable teams?
I think maybe feasting on questionable teams. Look, I mean, I think that they're never as bad as they look, and times are never really as good as they look either, right? It's always somewhere in the middle. But I certainly don't think that they're one of the better defenses in the league. I think that they are really kind of more than comfortable. They're a lot like Kansas City in some ways.
Yeah, and I agree.
Comfortable with bend but not break, which ends up breaking throughout the course of the game. But they fortunately are just good enough on offense to go get victories. So I think that they're somewhat similar in that sense. I think it's a pretty good matchup for the Eagles offense. It's just a matter of which, how effective is Carson Wentz going to be.
All right. Well, what would you look at with the spread? It seems like you would probably lean towards the under based on, just the idea of the running clock. Maybe not, but, do you think there's any value in the under here, over under here, or, in the Seahawks? 6.5. I know that home field advantage doesn't really matter anymore. It is a primetime game with the Eagles sort of, you know, not season on the line because they can just win their divisional games and take the division, we think. But I mean, pretty big game for Philly here.
Yeah.
6.5 is a lot for Seattle, even in a primetime spot with Russell Wilson.
No, it's a lot. It's definitely a lot. So we have to look at this too. This game opened at -3, right?
Yeah.
So this has all been moved all the way up to 6.5. I make it in my simulations right about 5.1. So I would have a slight value there on the Eagles in this spot. I really do think Seattle's going to get back to running the ball with Chris Carson.
Yeah.
I don't think they're going to be cautious with him at all. I think they're literally going to let him do his thing. I think he's going to be heavily involved here. Between that and potentially Jalen Hurts, we might have a little bit of weather in the game at this point. I think that if I had to play it there, I would certainly lean towards the under. It already has been bet down, obviously. So we've seen this move from -3 to -6.5, and the totals dropped from 52 to 49. But I still, at this point, would probably lean towards the under at 49.
And we've seen Doug Peterson and Pete Carroll. I agree with you. I think we've seen Doug Peterson and Pete Carroll engage in these. I mean, you can picture it in your head. The playoff game, there was a primetime game last year where both teams – just sort of pout, like hit each, it's like two like toddlers fighting where they punch each other, don't do much. play sort of ball control. It does look like the wind is set to drop. It's going to be, it's really windy in Philadelphia all day long, 20, 19 mile an hour winds up till 5 p.m. And then it's supposed to drop. That is worth keeping an eye on because it looks like down to 10 and then at 8 p.m. and down to 7 by 11 p.m. just based on a quick Google search. If that shifts at all, and like whatever's rolling through there is ends up being windy, really windy later in the day, there's a lot of value in the under, I think, because I think it's probably, you know, if we knew there was going to be 15 mile an hour winds or 20 mile an hour winds throughout the game, I think the total would probably be like 45. Shouldn't be a ton of rain throughout the game, but it's just, it's going to be kind of gross in Philly weather. And it just feels like a slop fest between these two teams. So I think I'm with you. I would, if I were playing it, I would play Eagles and I would play it, but I think if we're going to hang up from this podcast and I'm going to put a bet in on the side or total, you know, just a, you know, traditional wager, I think the under would be the play even at that reduced number for me.
Yeah. I tend to agree with that too.
All right. Well, let's,
makes me nervous with Philly for sure.
The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
Oh yeah, for sure. Well, let's take a quick break when we come back with our DFS and player props. All right. So you mentioned Chris Carson. I have him circled for multiple props, specifically his over in rushing yards. Philly is a very good rush defense. I don't think they've allowed 100-yard rusher in like a year and a half or something crazy. Maybe that's the Saints. But Philly's a really good rush defense. Fletcher Cox is stud in there. Obviously they have great defensive linemen, but 51 and a half rushing yards are just too low for Chris Carson.
Yeah. I mean, if he comes in there and is going to get the work that I think that he's going to get, I think this number's off by about 13, 14 yards.
Wow.
Where it should be from a median standpoint. So in my initial run, I actually have him around 65, 66 yards. So I think that an appropriate line here. You know, we've seen it sometimes when we do this podcast and then we kind of tout this information a little bit. I think if I see this 51 and a half total, I bet that number is going to close north of 55.
Okay. I wouldn't be surprised if it got up to 58 or 59, honestly. I think the books are having a little bit, not trouble adjusting to props. The books are doing just fine from that perspective, but I do think that they're slower to adjust props. And they'll sort of like, they'll let these numbers kind of sit out throughout the day. And you see it around noon. People, you know, people in Vegas are getting in, they're adjusting things. People, it starts moving and then it really starts flying. I think it's better off. You're better off getting your props in early. Like don't wait until 30 minutes before the game to get your props in. You're going to get a bad number.
Yeah. I mean, the only way you want to do that is if it is a primetime game and like, say for example, this thing somehow got up to my number of 65, 66. I'd probably make a small play on the under then at that point. So if you're someone that you want to bet against Chris Carson for some reason, you want to bet against that situation, you can get a lot of value. I mean, just everyone public hammers the overs on player props.
Of course.
You can definitely get a lot of value betting the under if you're trying to bet closing lines there at that
point. And actually, I'm looking at my local because I was going to put in 51 and a half. It's already up to 55 and a half. Do you think it's still worth taking there?
I mean, I still would because I saw the 10 yards edge there on a relatively low number. But the only caution I would have is Carlos Hyde wasn't completely ineffective.
Yeah.
If it gets to a situation where this is, you know, what we want is we want a 10 to 11 point game, right?
Yep.
At that point, Chris Carson's going to grind it out. He's going to get some of those carries. If this is a 17 point game, Carlos Hyde's taking those carries in the fourth quarter, most likely.
That's right. If the Seahawks are blowing out the Eagles,
yeah,
they're going to rotate in their backups and let Chris Carson. Although, I mean, what do you think about Carson's receiving yards? I think it's 19 and a half. A surprisingly high number for a guy who up until this year wasn't really involved in the passing game, but he's been a big factor when he's been out there.
He's definitely been a big factor when he's been out there. I do like the running backs in the passing game there. I don't have a ton of value on that number. I have it right at 20. I don't hate leaning over. It's just a matter of, are you comfortable with playing a lot of Chris Carson, right? So like, I think that they're going to use him a lot. I think they're going to get back to running the football. I think they're going to, Russ is going to dump the ball to him quite a bit. I don't think that we're going to see just deep shot after deep shot to DK Metcalf tonight, but I don't know that I could play the over on the receiving yards at this point. I think I would be more interested in the number of rushing attempts and the number of rushing yards.
Okay. And on the, on, you mentioned DK Metcalf. He and Tyler Lockett have been an enigma this year for prop purposes and DFS purposes. I mean, some, you know, 1 week Lockett has three touchdowns. The next week DK goes nuts. Lockett's sort of been down. Their over-unders here are pretty close. I'm seeing, I should probably use William Hill lines, right? Instead of my local lines, for my own by the way, Chris Carson over rushing attempts, 12 and a half.
Yeah.
Like that a lot.
I think that number should be 14 is where the book should set it. I think that, I mean, it's a Seahawks game. Chris Carson's back. Pete Carroll there. They're on the road. I think they're going to open the game with two rushes too.
You might get eight in the first quarter. Yeah. Right. Metcalf's receiving yards at William Hill, 72.5. Tyler Lockett, 71.5. DK juiced over -140. I mean, it's kind of tough to take the under, to take the over on Chris Carson. And then like you kind of have to, if you're going to take something there, I assume you're leaning under, but man, getting in the way of a DK Metcalf, under is not, or a DK Metcalf receiving yard total is not a fun thing to do.
No, it's definitely not. One more comment that we should probably make relative to both Chris Carson's receiving and then these two guys receiving. Greg Olsen out. They will be working in those tight ends more. However, we could see, you know, more short passes for Tyler Lockett, more short passes for Chris Carson there. As far as Metcalf at 72, I don't mind the number 72 if you like the over there. I don't like laying -140 on it. So I would honestly probably wait a little bit, hope that that number gets bet up to 73 to 74 with a more normal juice at 110, 115. Because I don't think – if you like DK Metcalf at 72, you like him at 74 still, frankly. So that's how I would handle that one.
I'm seeing it has already moved up to 76.5 on my local, which I don't – hashtag my local. I just think – I think that's where it's pushing. I think this is a Monday night football game. DK Metcalf is everybody's favorite player. He'll probably be a top choice for a captain against a questionable Eagles secondary. And I think you'll see people hammer the over on his receiving yards because it's been a very profitable thing to do. If they change the way they want to approach this game, then it won't work out. Any other props? Is Carson your favorite prop in this game, and or is there any other items you're targeting?
I think that Carson's definitely my favorite in terms of the – I think, honestly, my favorite is the rush attempts and rush yards right after that. I like both of those. And let's see, the last prop that I would want to play here. I don't mind Carlos Hyde over 6.5 receiving yards.
Oh, wow.
I think that Carlos Hyde is going to still – like I said, I think that they're going to run the ball. I think they're going to use both backs. That play is more specifically linked to just not having tight ends on the field the way that they maybe would want to. So he's someone that I'll be looking at there as well at that number because it's one catch, right? So it's essentially what I'm betting on with Carlos Hyde is one catch out of the backfield.
Okay. Any interest in Jalen Hurts' first touchdown score at 25-1?
Honestly, probably not.
Yeah.
I think it's Carson Wentz's game to start for one. And just the Seahawks being a, favored so heavily and having so many weapons the way that they do, I don't think that there is a ton of value in betting, Hurts on the first touchdown.
Okay. Any first touchdown options that you like at all? I kind of like taking these quarterbacks in these primetime games, especially Russ and Wentz at 16-1 and 20-1 respectively. They use their legs a ton. You know, you can see him in the red zone scramble. I don't hate it. If you want a little splash on that. But Carson at 7-1, probably not a terrible option either. Okay. Let's get to DFS. Looking at this showdown, as you mentioned, there's probably a ton of value with the injuries. First we'll start with the captain situation. You know, when you look at this, Russell Wilson, 18-9, DK Metcalf priced above Carson Wentz at 17-1. Wentz is 15-6. Lockett 14.4, Sanders 13.8, Carson 13.2, Jalen Hurts all the way up at 10.8, and then Hyde, Fulgham, Goddard, and you get to the backup quarterbacks, Nate Sudfeld, Geno Smith. Who's your primary target here for a captain spot?
I mean, it's got to be Russell Wilson at the top, by especially with the Eagles news with Carson Wentz potentially losing snaps to Jalen Hurts. We've talked about what we think is going to happen. We think it's going to be a little bit more on the ground. I think that Wilson clearly edges Metcalf, but it's still going to be Wilson and Metcalf number one and two, right? So I'm probably going to have almost 20% Russell Wilson. DK Metcalf's looking around 12% for me.
Okay. Metcalf. And then the other 60% you're spreading out across Chris Carson. Yeah,
we'll basically have probably 10 to 11 different captains tonight in some percent, but only going to be, it looks like we'll have the players that'll be 8% or above, or, you know, approaching double digits. So 10% and above will be Russell Wilson, DK Metcalf, Miles Sanders, Tyler Lockett, Carson Wentz, and Chris Carson.
Okay. And for Mike's full exposure to players and the flex guys, make sure you go to sportsline.com/join. You can get the first month for $1. Use promo code White unless you have a promo code. You probably got one, right?
White, Mike, anyone. I don't, anyone.
White, but not White Mike. Use promo code White or promo code Mike. Yeah. To get your first month for $1. Either one of those work. And then you will, you also get a CBS All Access account as well, which is like a steal because Champions League is going on. And you can get all the exposures, lineup optimizer, everything you need for DFS purposes. Who are some value plays that you're looking at this evening for this slate?
So we have one value play that we have to talk about because we know, you know, I mentioned that they're short on tight ends, right? But Pete Carroll loves to mix in the tight end there.
Yep.
Let's talk about Colby Parkinson. Colby Parkinson is $200 on DraftKings. He is a free square if you like him. It will allow you to play the Russell Wilson, DK Metcalf, maybe even Tyler Lockett, double handcuff if you want to. So Pete Carroll has basically already come out and said that Colby Parkinson is going to have a role on offense, tight end from Stanford. I think he's going to come in there and just take over that role, right? They like to run all three of those tight ends in there with Hollister, Disley, and Olsen. Olsen's out of there. Give me Colby Parkinson at $200. All you need here is one catch.
He is a Parkinson is a tall, athletic freak. Yep. Prisco loved him coming out of the draft and said he had a shot to be the first tight end taken. Now I'm like panicking because I'm worried I dropped him on my dynasty league. I'm hoping I didn't. I might start him tonight. He's a guy that absolutely could be the future at tight end for them. He's not going to get, I saved him. You know, he's not going to, you know, he's not, he's, you're not expecting like three touchdowns from this guy.
No.
But like you say, if he gets one catch for 15 yards, he's already outperformed his $200 value. And this is important because especially on, you and I've talked about this on this podcast before. You don't have to spend all your money in DFS.
No.
You plug Colby Parkinson in there. You leave some cash on the table. And if he gets the flame emoji going, then he helps you out and he unlocks so much other stuff.
Yeah. I mean, his real value there is just unlocking, you know, we've got those high salaries with the two receivers, Russell Wilson, and then on the other side, Miles Sanders. It really just unlocks everything. So you say he's not going to catch three touchdowns. He might catch one. Like, yeah. They love.
If he catches one, you're not going to win any money without him on the, like any big money without him on the, in your lineup.
Absolutely. Yeah, definitely.
All right. So what would be your preferred bill? If you go, let's say you go Russell, Colby Parkinson, and DK Metcalf, are you going with a fourth Seahawk and bring it back with two, like Wentz and an Eagle pass catcher? Or you load, like, are you thinking this is a potential? I mean, you guys had a 5-point game in your simulation. So I'm guessing you're not putting, you know, you're not banking on like Carlos Hyde and Chris Carson running for 150 yards each in a bloodbath.
I mean, I might put Carson in there. So I'm actually going to build it right now and see what this looks like, but it'll definitely be a Seattle stack for sure. It'll likely be 4-1.
Or 5-1?
Or did you? 5-1. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, no problem. So, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, we're not quite able to get exactly where I want on that.
Yeah, I was looking at that too. So with Colby Parkinson in there, you could go Russ at captain, DK Metcalf. You can come back with Wentz and Rager, but then you're sort of left in the dark on what you want to do as far as the last piece. Like you can go DJ Dallas. That's not extremely appealing. There's just not, it's almost like you need to flip Russ and DK. I don't know if that will work in terms of, yeah, and that unlocks Will Disley.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I will definitely have lineups like that. That'll be 5-1. So one that I've got in now, Russell Wilson, DK Metcalf, Chris Carson, Tyler Lockett, Parkinson, and then running it back with Boston Scott, potentially catching passes in a real hurry up situation. When they're trying to come back, but basically just full on Seattle onslaught would be one way that you can get exposure to Russell Wilson, DK Metcalf, Tyler Lockett. You know, if Russ does have that passing game where he throws 3 touchdowns, 4 touchdowns, both go to Metcalf, Lockett, like you're not going to win without them for sure.
Right. What is there a, I mean, we talked about the under and running the football. I mean, is there a, do you think it's contrarian in this spot to just play defenses and, I mean, not that you avoid the quarterbacks, but you go, let's say you go, you think Chris Carson's going to go nuts. Carson is the captain. Plug the defenses in and you could probably get a pass catcher in each quarterback, right?
Yes, you definitely could.
Is playing defenses stupid?
So I rarely play defenses, right? So that's what I tell a lot of my following there. There are times when they do project to be valuable, but they're mostly over-owned. On slates where we have defensive touchdowns, I don't want $1 million on those slates. I might be able to recover my investment still, but I'm not profiting much on slates that have a defensive touchdown. So I'm more on team kicker, less on team defense. Typically just because the kickers are under-owned. So the thing you have to remember about a kicker, right? Traditional DFS doesn't use a kicker. So like casual players coming in, they're not thinking about using kickers when they build lineups, right? Well, I come in and kick, you know, a 40-yard field goal and I've scored 80% of a touchdown already, right? So you also get the point on the extra point that they're not priced up. They're around the same price as the defense. Obviously the defense starts with 10 points, which is a nice thing, but they're just over-owned. So I personally, like last night was a situation where I had 3% of the Bears and 3% of the Packers defenses.
Gotcha.
And that was a game where I typically am not playing defenses at all. I'm typically using my median projection on them. Their median projections are around 4 to 5 points, maybe 6 in some extreme situations.
And you really need that defensive touchdown for it to work out.
Yes. Like you need a defensive touchdown or you need just an absolute shutout, 5-6 sacks.
And we just don't see that in 2020. And as we point out, even the Packers were doing that to the Bears. And you're up 41-7 or whatever, and you just give up 14 points you don't really care about. And that's the problem. Yeah. All right. That's the slate. Those are the props. It's Chris Carson season.
Chris Carson.
So go, if you're listening to this, in the morning or around lunch, go get the Carson props in now. Rushing attempts over, rushing yards over. Mike has the rushing yards up to 65, but you don't want to nudge up to 65. Let's win some money tonight. Thanks, buddy.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and 3-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.